It is Friday, March 6th, 2026, and things are going pretty well. Dare I say I am feeling triumphant. Recently, I hit a new low of 295, and I am feeling pretty strong, actually. It seems like, despite the rate of change, at least on the scale, going quite slowly, I am constantly getting comments from people that they are at least noticing changes. And so, all in all, I'm very happy that things seem to be going quite well. I am certainly excited because I feel my energy, optimism, and spirit really returning now that I have made a decent amount of progress on sleep. And part of that is with the sunshine returning in the mornings, it is getting easier and easier, ever so slightly, for it to be under control. While we certainly have a little bit of winter left, I really feel the need to kind of shout from the rooftops that I am excited that I have gone through another winter weighing less than I did when I started it. And I feel like that truly is the victory I should be celebrating at the moment, because that's not a given. Certainly, last year I did very well as far as losing weight last winter, and at least numerically, this winter was not as transformative. But the good news is the direction stays the same. I am still able to endure the difficulties of winter and the personal crises that have happened, at least this winter. And so I am very happy to report that things are continuing on, and that is filling me with hope and really just optimism for what I want to tackle for the rest of the year. In truth, it has been quite challenging to endure the last 2 months because I've been hard on myself. I have been wishing I could do more, wishing I was more capable, but really what I fundamentally focused on, as hard as it really was I'm like, Gabriel, if you just focus on the basics, just focus on trying to take care of yourself, it will get better. And, you know, your energy will return and you will feel recharged to tackle things. And I think that has paid off big time. I am certainly noticing, especially with some improvement of my sleep routine, that a certain amount of focus and diligence has returned. I wish I could transfer that into having a lot more available time to work on a bunch of different things I am excited to tackle on, but I still have to make the best of the situation. And honestly, lately, I'm pretty happy because I hit a new bench press record for benching 177 pounds for 8 reps. And that was somewhat of a surprise to me. In fact, I was constantly recalculating the number because I'm like, no, that's too high. I can't actually lift that much. I was in disbelief and I shared the video online and I was expecting someone to say, you're wrong. That's actually not that way. You know, it's like, but like, no, it actually is. For 15 kilogram plates on a bar, which itself is 45 pounds, does add up to 177. And I guess part of it is that I haven't been focusing on bench pressing that much. I've been focusing more on my overhead press, which I am excited to try again today. Today is the day where I get to make another attempt at breaking through my previous record of 7 reps at 135 pounds. But apparently there's a bit of a crossover, like getting better at one helps the other get better. So things are going quite well. In fact, one of the things I have been constantly doing over the course of winter is at the start of January, I kind of realized, yeah, just busing to and from my daily, you know, outings is not really a good idea because while the cold sucks, walking itself is worthwhile. Every step counts, so to speak, when it comes to this journey. And I think I've done a phenomenal job at raising my step counts. I have averaged over 10,000 steps a day for over a month now. And in the last few weeks, I have been trying to sneak in extra walks, trying to really raise the bar, raise that number as much as I can, because I really do notice a difference. I notice feeling a whole lot better as challenging as it is. And so what I can really say is that while, you know, numerically, I'm not moving down the scale as quickly as I would want, truthfully, it feels like everything is kind of working out. Some of the lifestyle changes I'm investing in are beginning to pay off. The seasons are now cooperating with my desire to really push ahead. And on top of that, the direction is still solid. I am still slowly, but at least provably, continuing to lose weight. And honestly, I am happy to be further away from 300. I will look forward to it being entirely in the rearview mirror. But with my new low of 295, as long as I continue progressing forward, it will go quite well. I think I am certainly at the point where there is no easy progress. I do feel like with the circumstance I'm at, I have kind of expended. I feel like I have taken advantage of many of the easy wins available diet-wise. And so some of what I think needs to be done does involve upping the game in a couple of different ways. But I'm in good spirits about it all. I am glad that I am not feeling miserable about the process. I am not treating the slow rate as like an axe hanging over me waiting to drop. I am beginning to feel more at peace with the fact that this is going to take time. Like, this entire thing has taken time. Obviously, I've changed pretty rapidly, all things considered, but I am now in a point where I'm very happy to be making small daily adjustments and trying to, you know, work diligently on this process, but at the same time, kind of spending the time to enjoy the road. And that's why I'm certainly excited to share more. I am revamping my online presence soon, actually. Some changes are coming down the pipe. And so what can I say? Things are just going very well, and I'm very grateful to be where I'm at. In fact, I was seriously thinking about the fact that I have to congratulate my former self at the start of this process, because one of the questions when, you know, things get really hard is it really worth it? Does it really pay off? And I will certainly admit that being even where I'm at, where I'm still substantially large, still has its problems, still has its challenges. But at least I can now confidently say that I am now substantially lighter on my feet. I am noticing that moving around nowadays, while I won't say feels effortless, feels drastically easier than even a few months ago, honestly. I am feeling stronger and more capable in many ways, and it really is a gratifying feeling to experience day to day. It really is nice to no longer see moving around in the outside world as its own challenge. I am certainly still having elements of that. There is certainly some conditioning aspect of I'm just used to movement being a pain, so I have to move to remind myself that, you know, movement is very much within reach. And it's a good way to be. It's honestly very nice, and I'm very grateful for the effort and all the things that went into making this possible. You know, for instance, at the start of this journey, it really started out with my other half driving me to 2 personal training sessions a week. And, you know, that was when the idea of walking to the gym where I go to was completely out of the question. It would have been incomprehensible to even attempt it. Whereas, like, now that's what I'm doing regularly. That's my, you know, new baseline. And I'm very happy to be at this point. I'm very happy to have the ability to move around and take on these things. So much so that it's like I do it at every opportunity now. And I'm always trying to carry more stuff while doing it. And that's the crazy thing. An unexpected side effect of becoming smaller is that in some ways, carrying things becomes harder. And that really did surprise me. I think I talked about in my last recording about how putting, you know, 20 pounds in a bag and carrying it around for your walks, you know, at 400 pounds didn't seem so bad. But now that I'm 300 pounds and that's a bigger portion of the body weight, man, it feels very different. And so, I don't know, it's fascinating. Because for instance, one of the things I've had to change is I've had to carry more in my arms rather than on a sling bag kind of thing. And it's fascinating to me how much a radical shift in body shape and composition will certainly change how you want to carry the thing. But I am, above all, very happy to be through the worst of winter. And I'm glad that throughout this winter time, I did get to the point where I could regularly walk through the cold, because that itself is a very difficult fight. And I will say, recently, I have certainly seen a lot of the familiar patterns rearing their ugly heads throughout this entire thing, because now that I'm trying to reach ahead and gain an even finer, more granular control over my eating habits, I am beginning to recognize the same underlying pattern of, oh, I'm feeling stressed out, I'm feeling this, whatever. And so I'm giving myself this release by being this extra kind of flexible. And like, on some level, I think all of it's a negotiation. I don't think that you should really think, you know, oh, you must be like this and there's no other way. Like, I actually think there's a lot of flexibility in this whole body transformation process. On some level, I haven't been as strict as probably I should have been on the way down. I think there are some things I would have reconsidered, but I'm still learning. I'm still learning a lot about this process. And that's what I find really fascinating on many levels, is I had a very bizarre experience of somebody at the gym coming up to me, because I guess I'm a bit of a micro celebrity there now, where people are asking me for tips. People in better shape than I am are saying, oh, Gabriel, what's your, you know, tips on how to change? And I don't know, I definitely loaded up with a ton of disclaimers saying, hey, listen, I'm not a coach, you know, I'm just somebody who's been going at this for a while, and I know he's at a different situation than I am. I'm like, look, you know, because I'm larger, it's easier in some ways. And so with all those, you know, litany of disclaimers out of the way, I made a few suggestions. And one of the things I've been really trying to get myself to really focus on is that one of the things that helped me honestly a lot throughout this process was having parallel pursuits. Because weight loss is going to take a lot of time, no matter, you know, what time frame we're talking about and how radical a change we're interested in. And so I suggested that, you know, for me, you know, weightlifting has been a nice thing to tack on at the same time, because it gives you other long-term goals to focus on. You're thinking about other different things. But I said, it doesn't even have to be an active thing. It can be a passive thing. I'm like, instead of like worrying about what you're eating and micromanaging that, distracting yourself with shows you enjoy or fiction novels or all these different kind of creative pursuits as well is a perfectly viable way to try to occupy one's mind. And so that is a direction I want to take on during this path. And I think what went unsaid, but I think is important to say, is just the mere fact that these parallel pursuits are less of actual distractions, but introducing yourself to better experiences you can get immersed in. And so it's less about, oh, I need to, you know, start drawing to distract myself from the hunger or whatever. I think it's more about you should take on new practices, new experience, so that you can show your mind and body on some level that there are other options, that you can find joy and pleasure and comfort in something other than just food. You can kind of delve deeper into different domains and appreciate what, you know, a fuller richness to life rather than just, oh, what tastes good over and over and over and over again. So yeah, that was the first piece of thing I shared, which, I don't know, felt a little too big picture. So I kind of wanted to drill a bit down into the details. And so we had a bit of talk as he was talking about foods he was trying out, you know, these kinds of things. And one of the things I noticed recently is that switching from flavored Greek yogurt to plain Greek yogurt certainly introduces like an aspect of misery. It's less fun, but I do find it definitely changes your desire to eat more of it. that's one thing I certainly noticed. But, you know, you can also correct in the other direction. For instance, I've been having egg whites to, you know, quote unquote, watered down scrambled eggs. So you'll have like, you know, three or four regular eggs. You add a bunch of egg whites to it. So it's still scrambled eggs. It's just got a higher content of egg whites. But the thing is one time I tried adding Truvia, which is this stevia-based sugar replacement. And yeah, it made it taste, you know, almost like candy. I was actually genuinely shocked at how effective the artificial sweetener was. So I'm like, well, try this with caution because it might ruin it, you know, whatever. So I thought that was very interesting. And on top of that, I also came to another realization when it comes to protein in general. For those of you who may not be aware, I am Canadian. And so there is some Canadian specific context to this whole dieting situation that went completely over my head. You see, in Canada, politically, we are ruled and occupied by a dairy cartel of supply management, which means we spend a ridiculous amount making milk, maybe not cheap because, well, groceries aren't cheap these days, but certainly more available and more reasonably priced than they otherwise would be. So milk is fairly plentiful. And so one of the metrics I've been using to decide whether something is or isn't a good diet food is naturally how much protein there is per calorie, which is where milk was something I had ignored for such a long period of time. But it just so happens that milk comes in many different kinds. Imagine that. So you can get, you know, skim milk, you can get, you know, whole fat milk, all these different options. But I found out that you can also get milk with less sugar, no sugar added. And on top of that, sometimes there'll be like extra protein. So it's more, you know, condensed. So it's like less sugar, more protein. Well, that's a big win. So the other metric I use to see whether a particular food is a good diet food is how much grams of protein you get per dollar. Because it's all well and good for something to have an amazing protein to calorie ratio. But if you're priced out of it, it kind of becomes irrelevant because in theory, if you need a certain amount of grams of protein per your, you know, body weight to, you know, not waste away, then you're going to need to have a certain amount a day, and that's a certain amount a month. And if you're paying over a certain amount for that, you're going to realize quite quickly that actually eating healthier is way more expensive than one would think. And so anyways, I've noticed the magic number is about 10 grams of protein per dollar, at least with Canadian grocery prices at the moment, seems to be the cutoff for whether something is a good deal or not. Anything below that, I would say you're better off looking for other sources. Anything substantially above that, you're doing quite well. And so the idea here is that milk itself is actually very good protein per dollar, same with eggs, but with whole eggs, you're struggling with the, you know, the other nutrients that come in eggs, which is good, but also has its own calories. And so that's why egg whites, I also find, are very good calories per, protein per calorie and protein per dollar, which is, I would say, the holy grail of diet foods. But I really am trying to think more as I'm trying to take nutrition a bit more seriously. I'm realizing nutrient density is this very opaque factor. While nutrition labels will have calories, you know, protein, carbs, and fats, it's not like any food out there has a convenient label telling you how nutrient dense, how well those nutrients play with other foods. I've seen an attempt of this. There's this open food site that is trying to build a database where you can even scan a barcode of something and update the information. It tries to calculate a Nutri-Score. But again, I would say a Nutri-Score in a vacuum arguably doesn't mean anything, because the whole point of nutrition is that you're usually not just eating one thing. You're usually eating some kind of combination of things. And so the interplay of those will determine what you actually should or shouldn't be having, or what is useful to have, and what are the benefits of things. And so, I mean, most people would say, Gabriel, you're already overthinking it. Just eat real food and you'll be okay. And I mean, like, I think that's a good enough message for most people, but again, I'm seriously interested in dialing down into the details of all this, not just for my own curiosity, but also because I am convinced that there is a great deal of superstition when it comes to a lot of these things. For instance, I saw somebody make a term and they called it energy austerity, which is where you live a sedentary lifestyle, but you're overweight. And so someone says, oh, don't worry about exercise. It's all diet. So you run the calculator. Okay, I'm, you know, not very active. And here's, you know, my body stats. And oh, look, it says I should only have like 1500 calories a day. And then guess what? You realize in doing that, it's very hard to maintain 1500 calories a day. And you're like, well, it just doesn't work. You know, it's like, that's a very typical scenario. And so some people will report, huh, I actually eat more and I feel better and I still lose weight. What's going on? I must be a radically different creature than other people. And then other people online will be like, well, you're crazy. You can't violate the law of thermodynamics, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. There's like a whole lot of stuff there that I'm like not going to do the entire arguments justice. But the basic idea is that generally I would say the people saying to ignore exercise are well-intentioned, but missing, I would say, a pretty significant variable in the equation. Because yes, when I was 570 pounds at my highest, I was physically incapable of doing any serious exercise for any serious amount of time. And so at that point, yes, the exercise part of the equation was arguably not even worth thinking about. But like I've kind of talked about, thinking about health as something you build, as some kind of like something you invest in, something you're kind of working on, I would argue even from the earliest days, every bit you can do to raise your ability to exercise is actually a huge game changer. Now, I will point out this requires time. And so if you have, you know, a busy schedule or a busy life, setting time aside for, you know, improving your exercise capability is a non-trivial ask, but I'm just trying to emphasize that I do think it is worthwhile where possible. And so anyways, the thing is when you tell somebody who is living in a sedentary life, as in, all, you know, you do what I was doing. You order in your food, you stay within your room or computer area for a very, you know, short range. And so basically, if you're like living under 2,000 steps a day, somebody would question whether that's actually living. And I think that's a fair question, but more to the point, dieting in that scenario is fundamentally a miserable affair. And part of this is because some people strongly believe that, oh, as long as it fits your macros, as long as it fits within that 1500 calorie plan, maybe you do or don't care about how much protein you're getting. But it's possible to say, oh, well, I'm just going to have 1500 calories of Oreos a day. And then, oh, why don't I have the willpower to sustain it? And in truth, it's because food has a real concrete impact on how you feel. You know, I think this is kind of what creates the illusion of some kind of food addiction, where it's like Gabriel has certainly struggled with overeating and struggling with, you know, how food makes me feel. But it's, I would say it's a very complicated, intricate thing, because again, food does actually have a real impact on how you're feeling day to day. If Gabriel puts himself into, you know, some form of energy austerity, what ends up happening is it's harder to physically get things done. And one of the things I noticed, I want to say I noticed it a few months ago, is that like if I ate a large meal, again, a varied meal, not just like one thing, but like a complex interplay of nutrients, gave it some time to digest. I mean, it does seem like it takes the body times to do things. Imagine that. But then if then I did a really intense workout, that felt amazing. And so I guess one of the takeaways I got from that is like the body wants energy to use it. The body doesn't want energy just to exist. The body doesn't want to, you know, fuel itself just so that you can doom scroll and technically maintain a perfect equilibrium of losing a slight amount of weight. I think, you know, your entire body beyond just the ins and outs of the scale actually wants energy to do things. And so when it comes to the whole diet and exercise, I think when it comes to the misery of the dieting process is that there is this idea that all you have to worry about is your nutrition and that your activity level itself doesn't really matter. And while I certainly agree, you can certainly move what the scale looks like, you can certainly have impressive results, I think when it comes to answering the question I'm kind of trying to answer this time, is can you be successful in this process and have fun? I think a high level of exercise actually matters a lot. And so recently, I've been experimenting with trying to be non-trivially active every single day. Now, this isn't the same as going all out every single day. I have been forcefully reminded that that is certainly outside my capabilities at the moment. But the thing is it is clear to me that your capability to exercise is something that can change over time. So for instance, the duration you've been hearing me recording, this used to be a walk that would be completely on its own unbearable. Whereas now I'm like, you know what, if I really wanted to, I could go another hour. And so maybe I won't subject you to another hour of talking, but my point fundamentally is that at least in my own life, I have certainly experienced a dramatic change in my capability to exercise on various time frames. For instance, on the small time frames, I can't go out all out sprinting for very long. The latest like record I tried was like 30 seconds of like straight up as much as I can, and continuing beyond that felt like impossible and I wasn't able to sustain it. But the thing is by working on getting so many daily steps as often as possible, I've been pushing myself to walk more on what used to be my rest days, whereas like now I'm like, nope, I'm going to do something on those rest days, even if it's just getting 1500 steps, because that's not terribly demanding, but at the same time is definitely raising the floor of my activity level. So the thing I'm more convinced of than ever is this idea that activity is actually a genuinely important part. Maybe let's not talk about like weight loss and body composition, but let's just say overall health. Because the way I've seen it explained is that like having more muscle mass is what I believe somebody described as metabolic insurance. Because one of the non-trivial problems related to obesity is insulin resistance. And so the more muscle mass you have, the more insulin sensitive you would otherwise be. But part of the equation here is you do kind of need to be using them. You don't, you know, put on the strength just to, you know, rest on your laurels and be like, ah, I can eat whatever I want now. Like there is a certain amount of activity required. And so I guess what I'm really saying here is that I'm thinking if Gabriel has a secret weapon for the next year ahead, if I have this crazy dramatic transformation moving forward as I continue to make progress, and someone is like, oh, what's your secret? Well, I will share ahead of time that what I'm really focusing on is being reasonable with nutrition. Like I'm not going to restrict myself as much as I humanly can and try to just move the number on the scale for its own sake. I do care about the direction I'm going. I still want to ensure I'm going in the right, you know, direction. But the thing is I'm, what I've been doing lately, and I've been finding it incredibly rewarding, is to fuel myself to be as active as I can be. And this has been a long time coming because throughout the last year, I have been trying to push harder and harder activity-wise, but usually that's been in bursts. That's been in raising the ceiling, not raising the floor. And so now I'm trying to consciously focus on raising the floor of my activity level. And there's a couple ways for that. One is caring about my step count on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. But the other thing I've also been doing is spreading out workouts. Instead of having 2 days where I spend, you know, 2 to 3 hours in the gym trying to, you know, have this theoretically perfect workout that now hits every area, I've been actually deciding to spread out my lifts more evenly throughout the week. I'm like, you know what? I think I actually probably can do some weightlifting or some exercise every day throughout the week. But of course, I'm going to have to dial back the intensity and not in some kind of like super intense, oh, I have to go, go, go. I have to do everything all today. Being more comfortable with the fact that this takes time. I have to gradually embrace the process. I have to let it take time, but still be reasonably confident. Hey, I'm pushing hard in these, you know, 2 or 3 lifts, you know, a day that are varied enough so I'm not like hitting the same thing every day. And I can certainly report in the last 2 weeks that I've kind of been really trying to focus on this, I am feeling quite good. I'm never feeling as taxed and as capped out as before. And I'm also noticing that when I wake up, I'm feeling achy and sore and really struggling. Going on a morning walk, kind of like this recording, but usually I don't record them, or sometimes I record something for myself, I find it actually makes a big difference. I actually feel a whole lot better, which to me is a sign that it's like, I do think we're supposed to move. And I do think this is where having time to take on this process is actually a really big deal. And so, for instance, one of my gripes in this whole process is a lot of people will say, oh, you don't need a lot of money to change. And I mean, like, yeah, that's theoretically true. I could probably imagine a lot of diet plans that don't themselves cost a lot of money. But I'm going to be fairly frank about the fact that a lot of money and time has gone into my transformation. Like, this wasn't just, oh, Gabriel decided to want it harder and that fixed everything. No, I've got the help of an incredible personal trainer who is very knowledgeable, very experienced. And that itself is worth quite a lot, especially over the time frame I've been helped out at. I have access to a gym and a pool, which is, again, a pretty significant investment in exercise. And then also I've been working part-time lately, which, yes, distracts from some of my personal passion projects, but more importantly, has given me some resources and some time to actually, you know, get these steps in, and, you know, it gives me some time left over to focus on the exercise, which I have been effectively treating as a full-time job over the last little bit. And that's been very helpful, because I think it was only a few months ago, if not a year ago, that in these very recordings, I'm like, I didn't know if I would be capable of doing what I am currently doing. I was worried I would never be capable of being, quote unquote, as functional as I am today. And I guess what makes me feel so great today is I'm realized that I've kind of hit that threshold. As much as I'm not done the weight loss, as much as I'm not, you know, living in, you know, as great as I would, you know, like things to be, I still have, you know, ambitious targets moving forward. I'm realizing it's like, no, I am exercising every day in some serious capacity. I'm spending a decent amount of effort on this, and I am able to carry out many day-to-day tasks that beforehand were out of reach that I was worried I would never get to. And so I have certainly hit a level of personal functionality that I'm very happy with, that honestly, I should be more proud of. But all that to say is that I have built up to a significant amount of daily exercise, which I acknowledge takes time. It takes, you know, a lot of time to have the leisure to spend the hours I am putting into this transformation. But I am suspicious that daily exercise, especially the more one can raise that floor on the daily amount, is actually very impactful. Because for me, at my highest, like, that just straight up wasn't a factor. But now that here I am, you know, starting to approach what is generally people shaped, for instance, I notice I fit in, you know, bus seats and like benches outside, like the world itself doesn't feel so alien to me anymore. I feel like I am closer of an approximation to the general public. And I really do think there's a lot behind the idea that we don't want people to actually understand maybe the truth behind why it may be as hard as it seems to get their goals. Because it's really easy for all of us to turn around and say, oh, well, that guy did it, so therefore anyone who doesn't do it just isn't trying. And I've always had issues with that approach, because, not to, you know, engage in a silly amount of friendly fire, but I worry on some level that the fitness industry is very much predicated on survivorship bias. You have a bunch of people showing off, hey, look what I can do, and then maybe leaving out the keys to the ingredients, you know, whatever. It's like, oh, I just tried harder, I just grind really hard. And to be honest, I have noticed that a big part of this journey is about reprioritization. If you drop everything like I did at the start of this and make, you know, this process your top priority, you can get impressive results in many different lifestyle situations. I would say there is actually quite a lot of flexibility in how you can change how your body looks. But then I guess I would go as far as to say, well, why? What is the point of all this? Like, in this weird sense. And so you have you know, these days you have these larger health crises of people being like, wow, obesity is such a big problem on the population level. And then there'll be this kind of idea of like, oh, well, they just don't want to change. They don't want to try out these things. You know, it's this simple. And so I think the hard part is that it's hard to sell the idea that there are structural and systematic reasons why the general public does not have, I would say, the means and the access to all the different things that make this process easier. Now, of course, I honestly don't think that like any individual person is like withheld from this. Like, I mean, in my case, I was pretty far gone, but I was way more salvageable than even I thought. You know, it's fascinating to me that I think there's this weird denial on the big picture where, because we don't want to acknowledge how bad certain things really are, like for instance, foodies are very interested in like, maybe the quality of food has gone down in ways that are highly troubling. Instead of like facing and wrestling that, we're just like, oh, well, you know, people just need to pick better things. People just need to stay away from the Oreos. I mean, as somebody who spent a lot of time having the Oreos, I can certainly understand the logic behind that. But I am now more suspicious of the idea that, you know, people just need to want it more, because I don't actually think it's about that. I actually think there are a lot of parameters at play. There's a lot of variation in people's lives. And I think, as somebody who's not only done a great deal in this space, but as somebody who is going to continue pushing forward, I just want to be on the record saying, like, look, if you're struggling with this, I don't think that's a personal failing. I actually think it's normal to be confused and frustrated. I mean, by all means, somebody could listen through these recordings as I'm figuring out even relatively simple things over and over again. And I think for some people, for whatever reason, like, I'm certainly an example of this, where like, based off your background or based off certain lifestyle experiences, certain really basic pieces of information, you know, aren't obviously in reach. And that's where it has been so nice to have guidance and to be part of a great gym community of supportive and helpful people who have kind of seen the ins and outs of this situation. And so now more than ever, I'm very, very skeptical of the individualist ideas around the idea of, oh, you just need to want it more, or, oh, you know, people just need to try harder. It's like, I really do think it's important that we figure out how to help other people. And it's like, in my own small way, that's what sharing these updates has truly been about. I mean, believe me, I don't think there's anything terribly glamorous about talking about losing weight in a relatively unfiltered capacity on a regular basis. In fact, I think there are many times when I go back to my old recordings and I am embarrassed at the things I have said. You know, it's the kind of thing where there are many things I am working on in this process. But I guess, if nothing else, in hindsight, I feel like I have done a decent job in documenting that it is a challenge, that it is something that takes time. It is something that you're going to feel lost and frustrated in, and that there's a lot of easy traps to fall into. There's a lot of challenges that they and motivations that can make things complicated. And so I hope in some small way I have rounded out the experience in a reasonable way, and I hope to continue to do a better job at capturing the complexity of all this as I move forward. And honestly, I will say it is very paradoxical in the sense that, like, I feel guilty for not capturing it more, but I feel embarrassed at how much I have captured already. It's kind of a weird point moving forward. And so, ironically, due to many of the things I am working on right now, I will say I do want to talk in more frank and clear and direct terms. And some of the things I've said in this recording is part of that, but like, moving forward, because I am realizing a impulse I am trying to wrestle against is I want to be a stronger person. And it's funny because I have put on so much physical strength now that some people would be like, well, Gabriel, you're really strong. What are you talking about? But one of the personal crises that rose recently brought my attention that I actually do somewhat lack a backbone. I mean, I can be very argumentative and combative online. I have no difficulty standing up for either what I consider important or for myself or for others online. That is not a challenge for me. But I will admit, doing it in real life is an entirely different ballgame, and I feel uniquely disadvantaged in that arena because when it comes to real life interactions, I have spent so much of my life avoiding that, avoiding the pain of being seen or interacting with people or navigating various interactions, that I'm realizing in a world where we need to like actually stand up for people who are being, you know, kind of demeaned in all these different ways, I realize that that requires a inner strength that doesn't come for free, isn't just there because you want it. And that's the fascinating thing about this process, is I'm learning that, you know, many people talk about various character traits as if these are things you just choose to have and not have. I'm like, no, these are qualities you have to cultivate over time and nurture and protect and, you know, really pour yourself into. And so, ironically, in making some progress on this year's resolution and trying to be more present and, you know, with people that I'm interacting with, I am realizing that there are qualities that I didn't realize I was lacking, and that's not a fun experience, but I am excited about the fact that just like how I can learn to enjoy this process of body transformation and getting physically stronger and getting more capable in all the different ways I'm working on, I'm realizing I can also appreciate the journey of developing these kinds of inner qualities that I have been neglecting by my own solitude in all this time. And so the fact of the matter is, while I am very happy about how far along I've come in my journey, I am beginning to realize that there is so much more, that I am not going to be content to be finished with just, oh, I hit the 15% body fat, I'm going to pack it all in and never say anything else again. It's like I am realizing that there is a much bigger game at play, and I am realizing that it is important for me to, I guess, be transparent about the qualities I am trying to cultivate in times where I think it is easier now more than ever to dismiss the idea of these things. And I think with the direction things are headed, it is very, very important that we figure out how to be physically present and supportive with each other. And I am realizing that honestly, I am way further from that than I would have thought. And so instead of my old response to, oh, well, if I recognize some deficiency in myself, I should beat myself up out, or I should be like, oh, why am I not this way? What is wrong with me? Why am I so terrible? I am realizing I have planted a seed. I have noticed a deficiency that I am trying to correct. And so my job is to watch over and protect that seed and nurture it however I can, and in time it will grow. And so I'm very excited to share that there are many things in my mental garden I am tending to. I am hoping that people will find the broader scope of the fruits I am trying to cultivate in this regard interesting and fascinating. And thank you so much for listening. It really has been and still is a pleasure to share as much as I can. And I really, really appreciate you joining me on this and any upcoming walks. There will certainly be many more. I hope you have an excellent one. Thank you.